Welcome back, everybody, to the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your producer, Sean. Across the way, our host, Danny. Did I do it right this time?
I think, yes, you got the jobs right. I got promoted. I'm the host. I'm not just the scrub across the country.
You're always going to be the scrub in my heart.
The scrubbing of your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I think I'm feeling pretty good, Sean. I'm already two beers deep. Damn, and we haven't even started recording yet.
Look at you.
When hazy IPAs are made to look like orange juice and taste like juice and are described as juicy, that's like a brunch beer, right? Mimosas?
I mean, I think it's like one step away from being a mimosa. Just not as bubbly.
Or as citrusy, I guess. There's less vitamin C.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, Sean, my beer today is fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by this brewery in San Diego, which I'm hoping to visit in December,
mm-hmm.
called Pariah.
Okay.
So this beer, like, is certainly following the cool kids trend of, you know, IP theft, but in a good way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's either hazy or IP theft, the kids are going to drink it up. Fucking millennials. You just need, like, some hazies, some intellectual property theft, and some avocado toast, and you're going to be full of millennials, right?
Exactly. I think it's a good recipe for success. You just got to get the free Wi-Fi going out there, maybe some axe throwing, and boom.
Dude, yes, definitely the axe throwing. Maybe have, like, some beer tenders with some, like, gnarly, pretty decent beards.
Exactly. It's funny, so, there's a area in Philly called Fish Market. I don't ask me really why. I haven't dove in too much. I just
is that like the red light district?
Is it
like the red light district in Amsterdam?
Something like that.
But it's less like a new named?
Yeah, it's a new upcounty. It's like the new hipster area that's kinda like up and coming, and I guess like on a block, there's like multiple bars and three different axe throwing locations.
So it's like akin to Dave Chappelle's "When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong." It's like when starting it, gentrification goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So this brewery is called Mystery Flavor, and it says this is our second foray into the delicious world of session sours, and we're pretty darn stoked about it. Trick-or-treating sometimes was fruitful with delicious candy, and sometimes it was not. Anyone else have that neighbor that gave out vegetables? The horror. This is a tribute to one of our favorite candies, the lollipop, packed with real dried lemon slices, then dosed with copious amounts of raspberry and strawberry puree. It is bright, tart, and crushable. Happy Halloween.
Nice.
So the can art looks like the Dum Dums mystery flavor wrapper.
Gotcha.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea.
Are you familiar with the lollipop Dum Dums?
I think so.
I mean, they're the ones that usually, like, the doctors or whatever gave away when you got a shot, because they're, like, dirt cheap. You can get, like, 1,000 of them for, like, $10.
I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
But one of the things they did was they had a mystery flavor. Ran, mm-hmm. Like, they would have mystery flavors in the variety pack.
Mm-hmm.
Which, once I heard the story of where that came from, was one of the greatest stories of, like, capitalism ever.
What's the story?
So, basically, they would be making, like, let's say they're making their strawberry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they look at the little hopper and they're like, hey, we're almost out of strawberry. They could have they had two choices. They could either, like, finish up with the strawberry run, shut down the machine, clean out the tanks, and then throw in a new flavor and start up again. Meanwhile, like, production is down, employees aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
Or they could do what they did is, as the strawberries getting down to the bottom, they just throw the new flavor on top.
Mm.
And so as the flavor blends, you got the mystery flavor.
Wow, that's pretty lazy but ingenious.
Right? I mean, it makes sense from a capitalistic point of view, because you don't want your machines down for any amount of time, and you don't want your employees just standing around doing nothing. Because you never know, like, the timing, I guess. Unless you just want to do a full run of strawberries for a full 8 hours, but, you know. Yeah. But I remember being a kid and just like trying to get the mystery flavor was like the flavor everybody wanted.
Oh, everybody wanted it, and they're just like, ha 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 ha, everybody's chasing the crazy mystery flavors.
Yes, it was like the rare like chase figure in a pack of figures or a baseball card or whatever you're into, where there's like pop figure.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty funny.
Right, so they turned like basically like something that could have cost them money into something the kids mm-hmm. like sought after. And speaking of which, man, this beer, dude, it tastes like strawberry jelly. Like
peanut butter jelly.
I think I would like it would be pretty like singing that song. I think it would be pretty good with a shot of the Screwball whiskey.
That is true. Do you think that Screwball whiskey would be like, I think you could like do some odd and ends like Mad Hatton's and Old Fashions.
Like I know that. They do have recipes for like Old Fashions and stuff with different ingredients. So yes.
Nice. I'll have to look that up. I actually saw it at my local Wegmans liquor store.
We have a Wegmans, huh?
Dude, I'm spoiled, Danny. Like, I don't know why I've been shopping in trash for so long. For the last 33 years, my shopping experience is elevated now.
Dude, like, going to Wegmans, dude, Wegmans is pretty awesome. And the one I went to in Rochester had, like, CBD oil just chilling on the end cap.
I haven't seen that, but I know they have, like, I don't know if it was the same in New York, but they have, like, a liquor store, like, that's detached in the parking lot.
The one I went to had the liquor store, but it was, like, a separate entity, like, a separate company that was, like, in the same center.
Gotcha.
But, oh, man, I can't find it on Facebook, but my friend of the show, Manthing, his Mrs. Manthing, posted a thing about somebody, because I guess they opened a Wegmans in New Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And this reviewer talked about how it was basically said Rochester was like a horrible, dark, scary place that nothing good comes from except Wegmans.
That's fair.
Oh man. But yeah, they're not wrong. When they said this beer is crushable, it's 4.2%, 5 IBU. I'm drinking it in the wrong glass, and I don't know if I'm drinking it at the right temperature. And
You're not even a real beer person. You call yourself a beer snob. You're not a real beer snob.
And on the bottom, where it has the date, which is it was canned on October 25th, so just a couple days. I had 180 days, so I'm a little within the date. But then it says by the date written, it says Jinkies. That's spooky. Which is better, I guess, or I don't know if it's better or worse than the brewery in California that, by its state code, had written in Epstein didn't kill himself.
Just trying to make a point, man. Just trying to make a point.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense for expiration date, but we'll go.
They had the expiration date there and the moral message. It's like the lesson of the day.
Gotcha.
But yeah, this brewery's in North Park, and we were kind of talking off air that I have a couple days off after Christmas, and that's the plan. We're going to get a hotel down in North Park, San Diego, that one of the founders of the Full Pint website / podcast, Danny Full Pint, says that whenever he goes down for San Diego Beer Week, that's where he stays, called the Lafayette. He said it's like right in the heart of the North Park district.
Is it? Did he say it's a fancy place? Do they serve good avocado toast?
It looked pretty like fancy, but also like relatively cheap compared to like what I was expecting for the area. So I think maybe it might be cheap because they also like have some kind of like, I guess they have a fancy pool where you could like, you don't have to stay at the hotel, but you could pay to like join a club to use their pool. So they're not just making money off the rooms; they're making money off their pool too. So, yeah, I convinced, because I already had the days off, and then my wife said she was going to take them off too, and I convinced her to let me take a beercation.
Gotcha.
So, Sean.
Yes.
I hope you're not. I hope I'm not drinking alone today.
I was really hoping that you were going to say, ask me what beer I was drinking.
That was my way of doing it, but indirectly.
Danny, I'm not drinking any beer today, man.
I'm drinking alone, huh? What are you drinking then? Are you drinking some hard seltzer?
I didn't say I wasn't drinking. I just said I wasn't drinking beer, Danny.
That's what I said. That's why I asked. That's what I figured the way you worded it. I was going to say, so I'm drinking alone. And then I said, no, wait. You worded it in a sneaky way. So that's why I said, are you drinking hard seltzer?
Nope. I am actually drinking. I just made a old fashioned from my Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Oh, you know what, dude? I meant to ask you like a couple days after you hit me up how you enjoyed the Buffalo Trace.
I think it's pretty good. I'm still trying to figure out what's my it's still all like kind of tastes the same to me. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. The tasting notes.
Yeah, like I don't get like the different notes. Like I definitely doesn't taste like rubbing alcohol, so I feel like I'm at least like in the right spot.
Right. And that's why I recommended Buffalo Trace, because it's like $20-ish for the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super drinkable for that, especially for that price. Like, you don't necessarily need to buy, like, Air Jordans when you can buy the Payless shoes that work just as well sometimes.
Yeah. Through the magic of gift giving, I acquired a whiskey glasses yesterday. So I'm testing out my glass. Unfortunately, I didn't get my giant ice blocks in the freezer, I guess, fast enough. Like, I put them in, like, at... I feel like at noon, and they're still not ready. I'm like, dang, man, like, what's taking so long?
The law of thermodynamics.
Exactly.
So, ain't nothing to fuck with, according to Wu-Tang Clan.
No. So instead of sugar, though, I've been using maple syrup for my sweetener, which gives it... you know, that mapley fantastic taste.
Right.
As the balancer. So that's like, that's really what has gotten me into drinking Manhattans and Old Fashions is my need for maple syrup.
Nice. Because usually, like, if I go out and order an old a Manhattan, I usually get it with a Maker's Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to pay someone else to make it, it might as well be good.
True.
Like in fancy, but even then, I don't know how much better Maker's Mark is than Buffalo Trace.
That's a fair point. I think, I don't know which one I like better between Old Fashioned and Manhattan's. I know it's like a play on the vermouth and the versus the water, I think, but what's your take?
You know what? I've never really been a fan of the Old Fashioned. Like, I've only had like a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, like, I have a friend that I've, one of my few friends that I talked to from high school, and by few I mean like two, maybe three or four, just a couple. But anyways, he's the one that turned me on to the Maker's Mark Manhattan Up.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I just know that's what I was told to do. And I work as directed, as I'm a union employee that works at UPS. I work as directed. So I just order Maker's Mark Manhattan Up. And it comes out, and it goes in my belly, and I get drunk, and I feel good, and it's fun.
Fair enough.
that's the math. All the math I need to know.
Yeah, this there's a Keg and Kitchen. There's a place called Keg and Kitchen, which is kind of like a gastropub out here by me, which is like my favorite place to go eat right now, and also drink. But they make a maple old fashioned that's really good. I think they use like a maple like whiskey though. I feel like they're doing something a little bit different than what I'm doing.
Like it's more mapley than what you're drinking?
I think it's just more subtle.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the maple is just more subtle because I think it's more in the whiskey. So I think that's the big difference instead of actually using maple syrup as the sweetener.
Now, if you could find a whiskey barrel aged maple syrup,
that would be off the hooks.
Because I know they make them, and they're pretty amazing.
I haven't seen it. I just have to keep looking. So, but that's basically what I'm almost done drinking. As I was, That's the only bad thing. I guess I got to start, like, figuring out, like, how much I want. Because I only made, like, a single drink, and I'm kind of, like, We're 10 minutes in the show and I'm almost done drinking.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could just have like a normal beer chaser. Like a regular peasant like me.
I guess you're right, but that's not what happened today.
No. Again, you know, you got to learn. Live and learn, man. Every day you get a little bit older. Every day you learn a little bit more. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I mean, you're already one day older than you were last year.
Exactly.
And by last year, I mean yesterday. Or the day before yesterday. So what I mean is, happy late birthday, Sean, everybody. Woo. Just have a moment of silence for Sean's happy birthday.
This is probably the same amount of people that are going to listen, hear about it.
I was going to say, I'm not informing anybody that doesn't know. I guess maybe then, like, this might be, like, a couple people, but definitely besides Sean's mom and dad. They, you know, I'm sure they wish you a happy birthday, I hope. I hope this podcast doesn't remind them. It's like, oh, shit, Sean's birthday was last week.
Dude, was something going on?
Speaking of which, dude, not, I guess, in a roundabout way, I got a untapped friend request from your brother.
I did, too.
So, it'll be interesting to see if he, he has a beer on there now.
Okay, at least he started. He's getting there.
Did you tell him about it, or did your dad?
I have no idea.
Well, either way, I guess that's the mistake of talking about it on the podcast, because we get riffraff like that finding us, is my point.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. So, speaking of riffraff, Sean.
Yes.
Dude, you want to hear some fun WWE drama?
Let's hear about it.
So, they've been doing some events in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Against, like, most of their fans' wishes.
Yeah, I remember we were kind of talking about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so they had their most recent event, like, Halloween, like, the day after Halloween. And I guess they didn't get paid. Ooh. From their previous event.
Ooh.
And they were owed, like, and there's all sorts of conflicting stories, of course, but the one that's, like, kind of the most consistent that I heard was they were owed, like, still owed, like, $16 million from the previous event they held there, like, a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they must have, like, pissed off the wrong people by asking about the money. Like, so, we're getting paid, right?
Yeah.
Because most of their talent got, like, stuck in Saudi Arabia and couldn't fly home.
Wow, and it was like, terrible.
And it was going to be where they basically, like, did the event in Saudi Arabia, flew home, and then we're going to have to go do the Friday night event on Fox SmackDown.
Yeah.
And so, like, Vince McMahon, Triple H, and a bunch of others were able to get off out, but a bunch of talent was stuck there to the point where they had to call their other brand, NXT, to come in and, like, fill in the gaps where the talent that was supposed to be at the show Friday night couldn't.
Wow.
and they're like, I guess their next pay-per-view is Survivor Series, where they're going to have, like, Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT.
Yeah.
Because, like, NXT started off as, like, basically their minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems like they're trying to push it as, like, an equal. But people are like, wait, that's the minor leagues. And they're like, no, they're all the same now. And it's like, really? Because it still has the same people. And they're like, no, we put Finn Balor on there. And they're like, why did you demote Finn Balor? And they're like, no, it's the same. It's not a demotion. It's equal. So it's kind of hard getting people out of the mindset that it, so I think that's why they did this. They're doing the next Survivor Series where all three are, like, on the same footing. And plus they're trying to compete against AEW on Wednesday nights. But one of the wrestlers, Adam Cole, one of the main guys on NXT, I guess he came out and said that he had, like, 90 minutes to pack and get to the airport to get on a plane to make it to SmackDown in time.
Jeez. It's going to really be the Survivor Series to see if anybody gets out of there alive.
Gets out of Saudi Arabia, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. So I guess they were already kind of planning some sort of, like, crossover angle where NXT would show up on Raw and SmackDown, but they apparently had to do it, like, at least a week early.
Mm-hmm.
So that just shows you the danger of, like, messing around with, like, a country like that. They actually had their first match where they let women wrestle. But I know they've had a match in India where, like, the women wrestled and they had to wear, like, basically full body suits.
Oh, wow.
They couldn't wear their normal, like, shorts and sports bras or whatever they wear. Even though the dudes were able to walk around with basically their balls hanging out the bottom of their shorts. Because they're so tiny.
Jeez.
Apparently there's a documentary on Netflix about wrestling, and one of the wrestlers that's on there does a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he talks about one of the scenes he's in that he's being they're being him and this other wrestler are being interviewed where he's shaving that wrestler's butthole.
Wow, that's awkward.
Isn't it? That's wrestling.
Wrestling. Danny, you sure love that wrestling.
Dude. So last night I got invited to I don't know if he still listens anymore, but at least at some point, friend of the show, Mr. Chavo.
Not friend of the show, Mr. Chavo.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. But he invited me. I guess his dad was ordering the AEW All Elite Wrestling pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up showing up, and I said, I'll bring the beer. So I brought some beers to share and some stuff. But it was my first time actually watching one of their pay-per-views, and it's weird because, like, it's like a football game, like seeing a football game in person versus on TV, because it's like they go to a lot of commercials. We're missing a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it in person, and there's just a lot of time the players are just standing around on the field not really doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's why they go to commercials, because football pretty much is boring 90% of the time. Like, they did some weird statistic where it was like less than 10 minutes of the full game where the ball is actually, like, being utilized in motion, whether it's being ran, passed, or kicked. The rest of the time is just like huddling and moving the chains. So that basically is the same thing. Like, watching the pay-per-views, like, there's moments where they go to commercial and it's like, but we're missing the action. And then you watch the pay-per-view and they're just like leaning on the ropes trying to catch their breath.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the main guys that founded the organization, Cody Rhodes, at the last event leading up, he came out and did a promo where he said if he didn't win the championship this weekend, then he would never compete for it again.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, you know, like, being a fan of WWE/F, like, there's all sorts of, like, you're fired matches where the wrestler comes back, like, a couple months later. Because, like, they just fire him because they're hurt kind of a thing. And so, dude, this guy took... Like, people on the interwebs are trying to debate whether this was one of those, like, planned bumps or real.
Yeah.
Because they had a weird ramp set up where it was, like, level with the ring, and he dove over the ropes and went head first into the ramp.
Oh, shit.
And was, like, bleeding. And it didn't look like a straight, like, cut, like, with a razor blade like they normally do. It looked like a jagged, like, he needs stitches kind of cut.
Yeah.
And to the point where, like, he had medical people attending to him, like, wiping the blood off his face and stuff.
Oh, wow. Damn.
And so, yeah, but, so, of course, like, they both, like, him and the guy he was wrestling against, Chris Jericho, had corner people, and his corner person is this guy that normally is a heel, but he's been friends with Cody Rhodes, and everyone's like, he's gonna turn, and he threw, like, Cody Rhodes is in this, like, hold, and he had no way getting out, so the guy threw the towel in, basically resigned for Cody.
Yeah.
And like Cody was kind of pissed, and he was like apologizing, like, I'm so sorry, man, like, I had to do it. And Cody's like, no, it's fine, man, I understand, dude, it sucks, but I understand. And then the dude kicked Cody in the ropes and was like, you know, that's why you're never going to be a champion, I'm going to be the face of this group. So he had his official heel turn.
Nice.
And they posted a thing like literally a couple minutes after the match ended of him like in two-face makeup. And people were like, you had this planned before the event, didn't you? And it's like, you know, it's predetermined, right? Like, I don't want to break the kayfabe for you, but that, you know, Cody might have actually got hurt by hitting his head on the ramp in an unplanned way. But that heel turn was planned for a while. And they might have just had to, like, call an audible and change how it was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. That's crazy, though. It's crazy to see when, like, that stuff happens.
The injury or the, like, yeah, the kayfabe, like, being broken?
When stuff gets, like, something, like, gets messed up in the routine and somebody gets hurt.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of times, because that's usually, like, when, like, they do a big move and the ref comes out and, like puts their, like, hand, like holds the wrestler's hand. Because it's, like, you're supposed to, like, squeeze if you're okay. Like, you're writhing in pain, but you squeeze and let the ref know. It's like, nah, dude. It's not real pain, it's fake pain. Like, you don't need to stop the match. But then, you know, and people have, like, learned this, so I don't know if they've gotten smart and changed the singles. But before, like, if they didn't, like, if they said they were in pain or whatever, the referee would, like, cross his arms into, like, an X towards, like, the backstage area. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, no, seriously, we really need medical help out here.
Yeah.
But then, like, they had another, the last match was a dark match, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically means that it, quote-unquote, took place after the show was over, even though it was a part of the show.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't sanction it because it was so violent. And my buddy's mom wanted, like, one of the wrestlers involved with it. She likes him. And then so there was somebody there who had never seen wrestling before, and this was her first, I guess, foray into watching professional wrestling. Oh. And even, like, the fans of it, like me, my buddy and his brother and his dad were like, all right, this is stupid kind of thing. Like, it's just, like, over the top with the, some of the, a lot of the stuff they're doing. She's like, you guys actually like this? This is stupid. And we're like, all right, yeah, no, this is stupid. But you missed it earlier when the dudes were, like, literally, like, jumping off the top rope and, you know, doing, like, crazy acrobatic shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the fun shit to watch. Not this, like, you know, pretending to, like, break glass and, like, body slam each other into it and hitting each other with, like, baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, at some point, like, it's like, all right, just end this match, please, because this is over. Like, we're bored already.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I didn't know what was going on, but apparently there was a rematch of YouTubers having a boxing fight thing. Because apparently they had a fight in England, so it was this guy KSI that I've never heard of, and Logan Paul that I've only heard of because him and his brother are douchebags. But apparently they're big enough to where they are able to have a professional fight at the Staples Center. I don't know, man. I guess, like, Justin Bieber was there and Wiz Khalifa was there, so it's cool.
Everybody's into it then.
Yes, all the cool kids. But yeah, man, dude, it was just horrible. Like, I don't know what was worse, like Logan Paul, like, making his professional debut, because they had to get, in order for it to be, like, officially sanctioned and to fit under certain criteria, he had to go professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was worse, like, watching him, like, them two fight, or just, like, the way the referee was, like, using way too much power. Like, the previous fight that was to it, like, the guy, like, stopped the fight and, like, ended it because I don't even know why. Even the announcers were like, wait, did he just end the fight? Why? Maybe we'll see something on the replay. And they watch it and they're like, yeah, I don't know if he should have ended that fight. And then the next fight, they had a different ref, the main fight with Logan Paul and KSI. And, like, they were, like, taking away points and stuff. And then even the announcers and their color commentary referee they had, he's like, yeah, that's too severe of a punishment, especially for only, like, a super short fight. Like, so I don't know. Like, he took away 2 points from Logan Paul, and Logan Paul ended up losing by 2 points. But, wow. Yeah, man, like, it was just crazy because it was sold out. And, like I said, man, Justin Bieber was there. So, and, like, they're talking about it. Like, after the fight, they asked him, it's like, how does it feel that you guys broke the internet? Everyone, literally everyone on the planet Earth was watching this. I think they might have exaggerated.
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I made the comment, it's like, to my buddy, I'm like, I'm pretty sure our wives aren't watching this, so I know at least two people that aren't watching this for sure. But yeah, like, for him to be like, everyone's watching this on the internet, it's like, who are you trying to kiss up to? Like, the dude you're talking to, or the, you know, all the 13 and 14 year olds watching it on the internet? We're the cool people. If you're not watching it, then you're stupid. Fucking, okay, boomers. Oh, man.
The new favorite term.
Dude, so there's all these memes about the OK Boomer, and, like, some people I know that are, like, my age are posting things because, you know, for some reason, apparently the millennials are lumping us in with the boomers, mm-hmm. the Generation X, because it's like, so if there's a fight, it's going to be between the millennials and the Generation Z versus the boomers and Generation X, and the Generation X are like, whoa, don't put us with them. We know they suck, too.
We're just over here chilling.
Yeah, we're just gonna, like, watch you guys fight. Like we'll probably help where needed, but, like, don't turn on us because we'll go hard. One person posted a thing. It's like, if you're gonna turn against us, we'll just drown your asses in student debt. Oh, man. And then somebody, like, some news guy made the thing. He's like, the OK Boomer term is ageism at its finest. He's like, it's the N-word of ageism. Which, yeah. Every time I hear that or see it on Reddit, it brings up this comedian that makes the point that if you're comparing two words being equally bad, like, this word is just as bad as this word, mm-hmm. but you can say one of the words and you can't say the other word, then the other word is probably worse.
Yeah.
Because you can say boomer, but you really can't say the N-word. So that probably already makes you that word is worse, right?
Exactly.
You've lost. Okay, boomer, you lost.
Suckers.
So, I guess in an okay boomer move, dude, this college kid in Iowa was driving across state lines because apparently all the Krispy Kremes in his area closed. Mm-hmm. So he would drive across state lines, load up his car with dozens of donuts from Krispy Kremes, and then take them back to his college and sell them for like $20 a box. Until Krispy Kreme heard about this, and because he made the news. And once he made the news, Krispy Kreme heard it, and they told him that he needed to stop. Or they would sue him.
Dude, I didn't realize, like, people were ratting out sales lists on the black market, man. Like, no, not cool.
Right. And their thing was, like, we're concerned about, you know, our name and, like... And it was like, people know he's... Dude, you're buying from a college kid from the trunk of his car. Like, what idiot would think that's an official Krispy Kreme, like, franchise? It doesn't even have the hot and fresh light out front. He probably wasn't even wearing the paper hat, dude.
And he doesn't have his big box truck.
Yeah. It's just like the degree of his, like, Toyota Corolla or whatever that he could afford as a college kid. Just selling... Making money, dude. And so he was told to, like, C&D that shit. And I guess Krispy Kreme got enough backlash where they're like, whoa, whoa. Okay, we'll work with the kid. And I guess they kind of made him an independent... Like, now he's officially an independent contractor with them. And he can continue the sales.
They just wanted their money.
Pretty much. I think they just... Well, they were already getting their money. Like,
yeah, that's true.
If he bought, like, 100 dozens of donuts, they were selling 100 dozens of donuts.
That's fair.
It wasn't like he was, like, stealing them. You wouldn't download a donut, would you?
Maybe. Let me download one right now.
I don't know. Those stupid movie piracy PSAs. You wouldn't download a car, would you? And it's like...
If we could.
If I could, yeah, I totally would. Isn't that where 3D printing is going, so I can just make my own car out of plastic?
You make your own everything. Today I want a motorcycle. Tomorrow I need a coffee cup. Day three, I need a waifu pillow.
with a what's those called? Fleshlight. You wouldn't download a fleshlight, would you? If I don't want the shame of buying one in public, yes I would. Wait, I could just download one and use it and throw it away. I don't have to clean it for cheaper. Then I could buy a bunch of them from a store where I have to, like, make contact with the human being that knows that I'm going to use that for sexy things that have no... And it's even worse that I'm already carrying my waifu pillow in there, so yeah. They know what they're going. It's going. Oh, man. So, you know, I clicked on a link, and it's all in Chinese. I don't read Chinese.
You know.
But, no. So China, apparently, is trying to fight... video game addiction, and I don't know how much of a epidemic it is, but I know it happens often in South Korea where, like, people die at their computers from playing video games.
They just can't stop, won't stop.
Exactly. Well, there's a reason why South Korea is, like, the number one country in the world for, like, esports.
That is true.
Like, the podcasts I listen to are, like, for, like, League of Legends. Like, they talk about how maybe the Americans will have a chance, and then it's like, no. They're playing the South Koreans. They're screwed. Oh, speaking of which, dude, they announced they're going to make a League of Legends anime.
I'm not really surprised by that.
Starring Rule 34 is everyone. Rule 34's favorite character, Jinx.
Get Jinx!
Jinx and, like, one other. Like, I'm sure that people draw naked all the time, too.
Yeah. I still remember when they, like, that was, like, they decided to do, like, a whole music video for the beginning of Jinx. It was, like, the only, I think, what, probably the only one, like, extreme character announcement.
They learned their lesson?
I think so.
So, China is passing, like, a bunch of rules for people who play video games that are under the age of 18. So, apparently they don't really care about the esports scene, because that's where you get good, scrub, is by playing a lot when you're under 18.
Yeah.
And apparently the parents have no control over the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were talking about, the podcast was talking about that. Like, if they did something like that in America, like, some people, like, the kids would be pissed, but the parents would be like, sorry, Billy, you gotta stop playing video games. The government said. What do you say, Mom? I'm a shitty parent and have no backbone to stand up to you, so I'm just gonna blame the government.
Pretty much.
So one of them is anyone under the 18 cannot play video games online between the times of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. And then every day except national holidays, they can only play for 90 minutes a day. And then during national holidays, they're only allowed a maximum of 3 hours, so 180 minutes. And then microtransactions, if you're I forget the ages. I think it's like 14 or 16 and under. It's $28 a month, and then 18 to that age is $57 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's going to suck for, like, because most video games, especially, like, mobile games and stuff, and, like, League of Legends, where they rely on a lot of, like, the microtransactions for skins and shit.
Yeah.
They make, like, a ton of money in China.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize, like, that was that big of a deal. I know we love talking about skins.
Yes.
And microtransactions.
Well, but, I mean, it's the same thing, like, people, like, with the movies and stuff, where it's like, the people are like, well, why are these movies, like, making all these changes? And they're like, well, we want to be shown for the Chinese audience. And they're like, well, who cares about China? This is America. And they're like, yeah, but China's not the China that it used to be as far as, like, economics, because a movie might make, you know, $50 million domestically, but don't make $150 million in China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a national economy. Like, you know, people in America, I guess the United States, because America, I had this discussion with somebody. America also covers, you know, Canada, Mexico, Central America, and South America. We're just the only ones egotistical enough to think that we're the only ones in America.
America.
America, fuck yeah. Coming around to save the motherfucking day.
Exactly.
But then I was reading this thing. And I forgot, like, to put it down earlier when I read it, that apps have a way to trace and predict people's spending habits on microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what they need to do. Like, they know who the whales are and how to get them to spend more money. Which, again, it's like that we talked about earlier, an earlier episode about the mom suing for Fortnite being too addictive in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every business does that. They have, like, I mean, that's the whole point of, like, different studies and different groups. Because even, like, focus groups. Well, you know, when they ask questions about, like, buying preferences. That's what I'm looking for. Buying preferences. That's all buying into, like, the psychology of shopping. But apparently people, like, don't understand that because people are dumb.
No, yeah, pretty much. They just don't understand, like, all the work that's into making you buy more, regardless of what the topic is, even at your friendly grocery store.
Yes. Oh, man. Apparently Japan is trying to figure out a way to solve an issue they have there, Sean. And the issue they have kind of suffering from...
Hot, sexy librarians with glasses?
No. Their problem is that they're not people aren't getting married and having enough kids.
Fair enough.
And so the way they solve it is by banning women from wearing glasses in professional environments.
Hmm. Wow.
And one of the comments on Reddit was like, wow, anime lied to me again. Who would have thought anime was like progressive feminist, liberal feminist with like all the sexy ones wearing glasses? So apparently, like, at retail locations, they're being banned because it makes their employees seem cold and unfriendly.
If they wear glasses?
Yes. Again, focus groups, right? Yeah. This is what happens when you ask the general public, who are generally idiots, things. And it's like, who did you ask? Were they a bunch of boomers? Because they have some weird opinions about shit.
It's a very, like, stupid thing to think. Where did this even, like, come from? It's just ridiculous.
And it says that, in addition to, like, the glasses, I didn't read the whole article. I'm kind of went further down than I did before. But apparently, in Japan, it's also considered obligatory to wear high heels when applying for jobs for women.
Wow, you have to wear high heels?
As his supporters were further aggravated after a Japanese minister said it is necessary for companies to enforce dress code that mandates high heels.
Wow.
It says that, you know, one of the critics is that women are evaluated mostly on their appearance. That's the message that these policies are sending.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, and there's a couple animes I've watched, and one of them is like, more, I guess, is that Agrisetsu one? The one that's based on the Hello Kitty character?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, a common Japanese thing where women will wear, like, more comfortable shoes to and from work. But then they have a locker room that they can put their high heels on so they can be at work and not violate the dress code.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of wasted space with the lockers. Just don't worry about the heels.
Right. Well, but then a lot of, I guess, because they don't have the lockers, but some American women do that, but they just keep their shoes in their drawer, desk drawer.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll wear, like, comfy shoes when they, like, commute. So they don't have to drive or, like, take the train in heels. And then when they get to their desk, they'll put their heels on, walk around the office, and then change out of their shitty heels and wear their comfy shoes back home again.
Fair enough.
So, I guess my wife's just lucky because she gets to wear a job where she can wear tennis shoes to work.
Yeah, I guess in the warehouse I guess we're doing it wrong too. Should make everybody wear heels while they're driving forklifts and stuff.
Yes, even the men. Just make it fair.
Exactly. Well,
it's like this private school tried to enforce a policy where boys could no longer wear shorts with their uniform. They could only wear pants. But girls could wear pants or skirts. And so one day, one of the boys showed up wearing a skirt.
Gotcha, good fucker.
And then the next day, a bunch more boys showed up wearing skirts until they eventually relented. And it's like, all right, fine. If you're going to wear skirts, you can wear shorts. Fine. We don't want the good name of our school to be dragged into the mud. And it's like, I think that might be too late.
Yeah.
So, the rapper, speaking of drag, good name dragged to the mud, Sean.
Yeah.
The rapper T.I. has lit up the internet in anger.
Did he have a good rep before? I feel like that was an ironic segue.
Well, he had a less worse reputation than he does now.
Gotcha.
Because apparently he goes with his daughter to her gynecologist appointments to have the doctor confirm that she's still a virgin.
I just don't know what to say about that. That's just so weird.
Right? Yeah. And especially because, like, if she's over 18, from what I'm reading that she is. Which means that either she, like, the doctor is violating, like, the law, or she had to sign some sort of, like, consent. If she did, he probably pressured her into it. But it's like, that's not how the female body works. And there's also anal, according to the internet.
Good old internet. Finding modern solutions for modern problems.
Yes. You know, because, you know, there's always been that, like, macho dad thing where it's like their son has sex, and it's like, all right, my man, my boy's become a man. And then it's like, you know, pictures of dudes, like, holding shotguns, and it's like, my daughter's prom date is picking her up. He better not do anything even remotely questionable or else, you know? Yeah. I got a gun and a shovel.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, so now you're going to deprive that dude's dad of the opportunity to high-five his son?
Yeah.
Because you're being selfish?
Exactly. There you go. What a great spin.
Yeah, you're just being selfish. Now that that kid can't is going to miss out on the high-fiving his dad moment from losing his virginity at prom. Oh, man. But some good news, I guess, even though we won't be able to partake in it.
Mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine created an Instagram page and then posted five dates.
Five dates?
That they're like going to be.
Chaos?
Five dates of touring. And two of those dates are Coachella.
Oh, son of a bitch. That's why they're not going to be in LA. They're at Coachella.
Well, like, it was weird because I think the Coachella dates were listed as LA.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that's like north of San Diego and like south of San Francisco is LA to some most outside to people outside of California.
Pretty much. We're gonna be in LA, San Bernardino, Anthony Theater.
Yeah. Right, like the Fontana, the California Speedway, in Fontana. When they talk about it, we're like at the California Speedway in Los Angeles.
Hey, it's Fontucky.
Exactly. Oh no, actually, you know what? I'm wrong. They don't have it listed as Los Angeles. They do have it listed as Indio.
Indio.
So they're playing El Paso, Texas.
That's random.
Las Cruces, New Mexico. Phoenix, Arizona. And then two dates in Indio.
What the fuck? Those are the most random areas. I mean, Coachella makes total sense, but what the hell?
Like, for me, I'd rather like drive to Phoenix, get a hotel room, spend the night, and drive home, then go to Coachella.
Yeah, that's fair.
It'd probably be cheaper and less traffic, and it'd probably take me just as long to get in and out of the parking, like get home from Coachella, as it would to get home from mm-hmm. Phoenix.
Yeah,
even though Coachella is like 60 miles away or so.
Right.
Versus Phoenix, it's an easy like 4-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible, man.
But yeah, so I don't know if that's like, if it's just a temporary thing, if they're putting out new music. But it's funny because all these people are posting stuff on Facebook excited about it. And then on Reddit, people are talking about it. It's like, wait, the other day you posted a thing how much you love Trump. Now you're posting a thing how you're excited that Rage Against the Machine is reuniting. Do you not understand what they stood for?
They hate the man.
Oh, man. But speaking of hating the man, Sean, you know, the conservatives made a big deal about net neutrality, how mm-hmm. it was unnecessary and it was hurting internet businesses.
Yeah.
And fuck Obama because it was an Obama thing and anything Obama did was bad.
Yep.
Well, AT&T was recently fined $60 million after they got caught throttling the speeds of people that had so-called unlimited internet.
Like home internet, or is this like their phones?
I'm guessing it's probably, I didn't read, but I'm guessing it probably is both, because I noticed, like my internet speed slowing down and I have AT&T.
Those bastards.
Like, I would be trying to watch videos and stuff and it would be buffering for a while, or like Reddit would be kind of messed up. Or like doing the podcast, I would get like bad reception. And I haven't gotten it for like the last couple weeks.
I'm on Wi-Fi, but I have bad reception.
Yes, like bad connection. It's like, wait, I'm on Wi-Fi, and I'm literally like 5 feet away from my router.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. It's just
terrible. So I don't know if that's a weird coincidence or if I like, because I was like, even I told you, I was like, I think that my router needs to be replaced. It might just be old because it's not working that well.
Yeah.
And then I read this article that AT&T got sued, and it's like, that makes sense. But then it's like, is $60 million really a slap, like a punishment, or is that barely just a slap on the wrist?
That's a good question.
Probably a like,
slap on the wrist.
Because like when IBM was kind of like years ago, like when I was like right out of high school in like the mid to late 90s, when IBM was like fucking selling everything to everybody, they had a program that came with their computer, and like you needed this program to use the computer pretty much.
Yeah.
But you could only use the program that was IBM proprietary, and so they got an anti-trust settlement against them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were fined $1 million a day.
Wow.
And IBM was like, cool. We'll pay that. Because they're making way more money than that. Like, that was like nothing. That was like the cost of doing business, basically.
Jeez.
Or, you know, like, the most famous lawsuit that, like, as more details are coming up, people realize it's less frivolous than originally thought, was the whole McDonald's coffee thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, the lady originally, all she wanted was her medical bills paid.
Yeah.
Like, she was originally asking for, like, $50,000.
Yep.
And, you know, because people were like, well, coffee's hot, of course. And it's like, yeah, but McDonald's had already been, like, punished and warned that their coffee was being sold too hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, like, because she got second and third degree burns on her, like, thighs and vagina.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it was, like, that hot.
Right. Like, I mean, it's one thing to, like, burn your tongue and you can't, like, taste your food for, like, a while. Like, there's a difference between that and, like, needing, like, skin graft on your vagina because you, like, burned it to death.
Yeah.
But originally she just wanted, like, $50,000 for, like, medical bills and stuff. And they were like, nah, it's cool. We're not going to give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the jury, like, the prize that she was awarded was, like, in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
But the wording of the verdict wasn't the dollar amount that she was given.
Yeah.
The way it was worded was that she was given the profits of one day's coffee sales.
Nice.
So basically that's how much money, not gross, but profit, that McDonald's made from just coffee. And it's like, that's, they have 364 or five, depending on the year, more days to make that money back. Like, that's barely a slap on the wrist. Yet people complain about how ridiculous that amount was, right?
Yeah.
So, but we got some good news, Sean.
We need the good news. Bring it back.
So, our beloved Frankensons is moving.
That's what you posted in the group chat. They're finally getting out of their fucking, like, shitty warehouse system.
Right, and, you know, like, we've talked about for years going there. It would have been okay if, like, they could have struck up some kind of a deal with the neighboring businesses that were closed, that, like, basically, like, had no reason to be there. Like, nobody, they were never open on Saturdays. It had, like, their parking lots, like, fenced off. Or if they weren't fenced off, they paid, like, a security guard to sit there and tell people they couldn't park there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you're going to, like, pay somebody to sit there, why not pay somebody to sit there and charge, like, $5 to park?
Yeah.
Because there are people who would pay. I mean, Frankenstein's parking is free, but if you can't find parking, then $5 is better than, like, having to walk, like, 10 blocks or 20 blocks.
Oh, yeah, dude. I can't imagine why people didn't just, like, pay somebody, like, 10 bucks an hour to stand out there and deal with the parking.
Right. Well, like I said, if you're going to pay a security company to have somebody out there to, like, make sure nobody parked there, why not pay a security company to collect money and allow people to park there?
Exactly.
But even they acknowledged, like, their parking situation sucked. And so one of the main things they mentioned in their moving was that there's going to be 800 parking spots.
Yeah, do you know what location they're talking about?
Not off the top of my head. I know it's a Sam's Club.
Yeah,
in the city of industry.
Yeah, it was like an old one. They must have, I think they probably moved the Sam's Club, I assume.
Yes, and so the move is coming soon because their last event is like this weekend. They posted like, no, we're still here. Like, come to this event. But then they had some future events have been like taken off.
So is there a chance that we could go to the new Frankensons when I come out?
Yes.
Oh my
That's
God.
What That's what it crazy. Seems like.
That's crazy, man.
So it says it just says this winter they'll be moving.
Got you.
And it's
how vague.
It's right off the 60 freeway between Astusa and Fullerton.
Mm-hmm. Is that
so Fuller? Basically it's, I don't know. Let me double check. It's 1783.
Come on, man. You're supposed to be the SoCal expert.
I'm not like
you know. I know you SoCal. Hate. Yeah, I know you hate follow up questions. But for those that have never been to Frankensons, it's basically just a warehouse building that's like almost just like a. If you went to Comic Con and just dealt with dealers to buy stuff, that's what it basically is every Wednesday and Saturday. So it gets like a stupid amount of business and it just keeps growing. But obviously, like, the physical site and parking is just so bad that it doesn't even, like, help out. You know who's going to be probably bummed is that, what is it, is it a Burger, Carl's Jr. or something that's down the street?
Right.
I think it's going to, like, run out of, it's going to, like, run out of customers.
But at the same time, though, they won't have to worry about, because they used to announce over the speakers, like, dude, there's cars parked at Carl's Jr. We told you not to park there. Like, they're towing your cars right now. Go get them.
Yeah.
Or the one, my most favorite announcement at Frankenstein's is still, they announced a couple times, to the driver of this car, please move your car, you're blocking somebody in. To the driver of this car, please move your car, you're blocking somebody in. And it was literally like 30, 40 minutes late of like announcing, and finally like, to the driver of this car, apparently you didn't move your car fast enough. They broke your window, moved your car, and slashed your tires. So like to get to Frankenstein's, because Fairway, they're doing the thing where they have it shut down at the railroad tracks right there, because they're going to make the road go under the tracks.
Gotcha.
So you have to take the detour anyways to the next exit down at, which is so basically the where the new location is between the detour exit and the next exit down from there. So it's only like an extra exit or two down.
That's not bad at all.
No, and if for the parking and shit.
Yeah.
So 33 miles from where I'm sitting right now in Riverside, California, to
nice.
City of Industry.
Nice. I wonder if they're just going to keep the same format and just have it open 2 days a week, or if they're going to look to extend it.
See, that would be interesting. I don't know, because, like, I don't know why they're only 2 days a week, whether it's just a matter of, like, because, like, if you go on Wednesdays, not everybody's there.
Yeah.
And now, maybe if they're at this place, maybe they might more enforce, like, attendance or paying or something, but man, like, because I went there recently for a thing, and like, I got, like, if you're not there like within like 10 or 15 minutes of it opening,
yeah,
then you're screwed for parking. And that was even a small event, like, yeah. If there's a big event going on like Raiders Day and stuff, like, you got to get there like 20 minutes before it opens at least, if not more, or you're screwed for parking.
Jeez.
Or you gotta like just do circles and hope you find some place to park. And that's even with them opening like a secondary, like across the street kind of parking lot area where they probably could park another 50 to 70 cars.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I think it's gonna get even like more busy with the additional parking. Like, more people want to go, because it was never like super bad like in the walkways and stuff, but I don't know. It'll be interesting, because like, they're going to have to, like, probably reset, do all the tables and stuff, and then everybody will be trying to move all that shit out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, because they have, like, that one little tiny area that they've, like, used for different things. Like, at one point, they had wrestling matches there, mm-hmm. And then they had, like, it was, like, a magic tournament area, and now that's kind of where they have, like, their autographs and special events.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if they'll have more room for that, or if they'll be able to host more events.
Maybe. I would imagine that they would build it to host more events and stuff. Like, they gotta drive. I mean, I imagine, like, them moving is gonna cost a good chunk of money, so they're probably looking at how do we, if we're gonna go to a bigger location, how do we make more money to offset the cost of the new location?
Right, or a location that isn't owned by the family, or they had to buy. Like, because even if they didn't, even if they, you know, because they owned a couple of warehouse locations on that street, and now, you know, they're just, that one, I guess they just didn't have a business. Now it could be a thing of maybe they found a business for that location, and now that's where that extra money is going to come from.
Yeah.
Like a kill two birds, one stone kind of thing. It's like, all right, this warehouse is going to be empty. Well, it's like a thing of like, oh, wait, we found somebody to either buy this warehouse and use it as a warehouse, or we have a use for it now with our company growth. So we need to find a new place for Frankenstein's, and then they're spinning it as, hey, we're making it so you guys can park.
Yeah,
but either way, man, it's like a win-win situation for everyone.
Nice.
So it'll be interesting to see, because, like, you know, during Christmas they're open, like the last like week or two before Christmas they're open 7 days a week for sure.
Oh really? I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah, like leading up to Christmas, like for people like Christmas shopping.
Okay, nice.
So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the move. I haven't been there, like I said, I went there for an event, but recently, before that it was a while.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, I probably end up going there relatively soon after it opens, if not the day of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nice. They'll have some fun events. Well, it's like, you know, when we went to New York Comic Con, and I ended up getting to meet one of my artists that I really like his work, Stanley Artgerm Lau.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him and stuff, and I mentioned about, like, the place I go to, a place where they basically steal people's work, and he's like, are you talking about Frankenstein's? And I'm like, oh, shit, like, you're from Japan, like, I didn't know you knew about that place. Like, literally, he's a Japanese artist from Japan. Like, he only comes out for, like, San Diego, New York, and Toronto. Those are, like, the three North American convention he does.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows about Frankenstein's and not in a good way.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I hate about the place. I try not to support them, and I try to tell people that I'm with not to.
Yeah.
Because they'll just, like, steal people's art off the interwebs and then put it on a styrofoam backing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So... But outside of that, it's pretty cool. You can get some, like, random, like, nostalgia shit that you don't need but want, like, pop figures for dirt cheap everywhere.
Exactly.
So, yeah, if they've moved, we'll definitely hit that place up. There's a couple breweries around the corner from there anyways that are pretty good, so kill multiple birds, one stone.
Pretty much.
Oh. All right, everybody. It's been fun.
It's been another fun-filled episode. I need another drink. I'm behind.
You are. I'm like 2.5 beer. I'm like 2.5 deep.
I have to start. I need to set up like a table right here next to my desk so that way I can make drinks during the show.
We can hear like the ice tinkling.
What's classy that up the joint clanging?
No, it'll make it classy. Like just hear like sound of drinks being made as opposed to just cans being opened. We're classy now, dude. We're like mixing drinks and using ice.
I'm gonna have giant ice cubes soon. The world is different now.
Are they generic giant ice cubes, or are they nerd themed?
No, they're just generic cubes.
Okay, because I've seen they sell like molds to make giant Death Star ice cubes for whiskey.
That's funny. I believe that.
It's no moon.
Fair enough.
All right, Sean, will you go get yourself some whiskey dick?
Well, for all you out there, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those fantastic places. You could see what fun events and what beer we're drinking at Untappd. So that way, follow us. Make sure you're leaving comments everywhere you go, everywhere you see. 5-star, 10-star, cool comments like, hey, cool show.
Hey, Sean's all right, but that other dude's a dick. And I would be like, they're not wrong.
Not wrong. Not wrong here.
Can't be mad.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Next time, everybody.